Welcome to church this morning. Whatever you may have been doing over the past week, one of us has had an excuse to celebrate. We weren't able to join him in his celebration, but perhaps you'd like to join in now, singing Happy Birthday to Atty.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Atty, happy birthday to you.
Yesterday saw the end of Christian Aid Week, and I hope you were able to share in some of their reflections and prayers. In light of the present pandemic, we all know that communities supported by Christian Aid are especially vulnerable. So here's a reminder of how you can still send in your donations either online via the Christian Aid website or by cheque to their office in Edinburgh. And today at 2 p.m, instead of being in Princes Street Gardens in Edinburgh, we can all join with folk from across Scotland to share in the Heart and Soul event. This will celebrate the life of the Church of Scotland and feature an eclectic mix of worship, music, stories and good conversation with a host of guests. You will be able to watch live via the Church of Scotland website and via their Facebook page. A recording will also be available soon afterwards.
Good morning and welcome to this morning's online worship. And we are gathered on our own, but some in bedrooms, some in the living room, some chewing on their breakfast. But yes, we are gathered in the name of Jesus Christ, loving us and giving us his grace every day. Therefore, I am inviting you to a call of worship, and it comes from Psalm 105, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord and call on his name. Make his deeds known to all the people. For he is Lord, he is our God, faithful to a thousand generations. Sing him praises, tell of his wonderful works, and glory in his holy name. Let those who seek the Lord rejoice, for he is the Lord, our God, faithful to a thousand generations. Search for God and for his strength. Never stop looking for him, for he is the Lord, our God, faithful to a thousand generations." As part of our call to worship this morning, let's sing from Mission Praise 288, verses 1, 3, and 4. I need thee every hour.
Gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour, I come. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. all I need thee. O bless me now, my Saviour, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour, I come to thee.
Alistair MacLeod from Liberton Northfield Parish Church is going to lead us in our prayer of approach, and he's also going to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. After Alistair led us in prayer, we are going to sing a wonderful praise hymn coming from the region where I grew up in South Africa, where the Xhosa people, really, when they sing in abundance and with joy. And we know it very well from our hymnals, CH4, as well as Mission Praise, and it's called We Are Marching in the Light of God. I want to ask you, if you are willing, when you sing the hymn, you can tap it out and you can tap the rhythm out. There's something to say, yes, Lord, please help me to keep in your light and to keep this joy. It takes me back home, but it's also saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are loving us, that you give us power, and that you are keeping us within your grace.
Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, you are Lord God Almighty. You are the one true living God. You are holy and righteous and good and just and perfect in every way. Each one of us in our two congregations needs you. Draw close to us, guide us, and be with us. Help us now to worship you in spirit and in truth. You are perfect in every way, but each one of us has sinned against you in our words, our deeds, our thoughts, and our attitudes. Help us by your Holy Spirit to have truly repentant hearts and minds, and help us to desire righteousness and goodness, to seek first your kingdom. Our sins separate us from you, but thank you for sending Jesus into the world to pay the price for our sins, so that all who put their trust in Jesus can be forgiven and have a relationship with you. Thank you that we can now approach you because of Jesus' blood shed on the cross. And thank you that we have that hope of living with you for eternity, where there is no more sin or death or pain because of his resurrection from the dead. We thank you for your amazing grace towards us. You and you alone are truly worthy of praise and honour and glory. Help each one of us to focus on you. We pray all these things through Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. The Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
In the light of God, we are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We are marching in the light of God. We We are marching.
We are marching.
We are marching.
We are marching.
We are marching in the light of God. We are marching.
We are marching.
We are marching.
We are marching.
We are marching in the light of God. See a humbug and Nanny Crinkles. 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 See a
humbug.
See a humbug.
See a humbug.
See a humbug and Nanny Crinkles. See a humbug.
See a humbug.
See a humbug. See a humbug. You can Nanny Crinkles. We are moving in the power of God. 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 We are moving. We are moving,
oh,
we are moving in the power of God. We are moving,
we are moving,
we are moving, oh, we are moving in the power of God.
The Bible reading from this morning comes from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. The first part of the reading will be done by Valerie Moore from Ceylou in Maori, and then the second part will be read by Alistair MacLeod from Liberton Northfield Parish Church. And when we listen to this scripture, it is my intention to have a series on the same passage for the following Sundays to come. Listen to the Word of God read by Valerie Moore and Alistair MacLeod, coming from Luke chapter 10, from verse 25 to 37.
The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?"
In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of God.
Do you remember this? Old TV series.
Neighbors. Everybody needs good neighbors. Just a friendly wave each morning helps to make a better day. Neighbors. each other. Next door is only a footstep away. Neighbors, everybody needs good neighbors with a little understanding. You can find the perfect blend. Neighbors should be there for one another. That's when good neighbors become good friends.
La 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 la, and so on and so on. Neighbors, yes. If we speak about neighbors, it's something. And Jesus told this story of the Good Samaritan. Then saying, well, the biggest commandment is to love God with your whole being and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now I was thinking, what could be said about our neighbors? Yes, we have different kinds of neighbors. Last week we spoke about family and as a Christian family, how we live together and how we see our way through. And I believe in any good family and in any good neighborhood with neighbors, you have something of a good Western film. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But we need to live with them. And one of these texts of the Bible text that rang with me the past weeks was exactly this text. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Therefore I thought, well, I could have one sermon on this passage and that could be it. But maybe in this lockdown period, it would be a good idea to explore what was exactly happening around this commandment Jesus gave his disciples and his followers. Now, interesting to me is the background to this specific text. We see that Jesus is on his way to go to Jerusalem. And then he is entering the area called Samaria. But if we read in Luke chapter 9, around verse 51, 52, we see that Jesus is not actually welcomed in the area and the villages of Samaria because he was Jewish and they knew that he was a Jew and he was heading to Jerusalem. And because of their background, the Jews and Samaritans did not get along with each other very well. They had indifferences in terms of their religious beliefs. The core was the same, but the way they practiced religion was different. Then, just before we get our passage from Luke 10, we also hear something else. Luke 10 verses 25, we hear something else is happening just before that. We hear of three different people who approaches Jesus and asks Jesus, well, can I follow you? And then the first one is telling Jesus, Jesus, I want to follow you. And it's as if Jesus knows that this guy is not certain of what the call of discipleship is. Because if we go back in Luke as his gospel and in his writing, we see twice that Jesus is telling people who want to follow him and telling his disciples that discipleship comes with a cost. Now, it's not a difficult thing in terms of something you need to pay, but Jesus wants people to know, if you want to follow me, my commandment is to love everyone. And as we hear here, hearing this text, love God and love your neighbor. And to love people unconditionally is not an easy task. And therefore, as I said earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus actually tells his followers there's a cost to discipleship. Just know this. So then people started joining Jesus and Jesus sends out the 12 disciples for the first time. And we hear then that again of just preceding our text that there's three people, three men coming to him separately, asking Jesus, can I join? Can I follow you? And the first one, Jesus tells him, listen, brother, I'm not sure if you know what you're in for. We're not going on a summer holiday. This is not a vacation. We're not going to stay in grand hotels or inns or have a beach party. And then you see quickly, oh, this fellow, it's not for him. And then a second one also approaches Jesus, asking him, Jesus, can I follow you? And he commits to what Jesus is telling him, obviously, the cost of discipleship. But then he's asking Jesus, all right, Jesus, I will follow you. Can I just sort things out at home first? And Jesus says to him, if you want to follow me, you follow me. You don't sort things out. You follow me. It's either your way, you follow your own choices, or you follow me. And we see a third character in the same manner, wanting to follow Jesus, but not seeing it through. And we can actually, not with disrespect, call them dropouts, because they wanted to follow Jesus on their own terms. But if you follow Jesus, it's on his terms. And therefore, it's necessarily needed for us to hear this before we explore the text of the biblical scholar asking Jesus, well, who is my neighbor and how do I care for my neighbor? Because preceding this text, we hear that Jesus is telling people, listen, it's about love, but it is a tough thing to do. And I'm wondering, who's your neighbors? Who's living next door to you? How do you find them? Are they easy neighbors? Are they difficult people? Are they the nosy ones? They the ones maybe causing trouble in the neighborhood? And you know the answer to that. The other side of the coin is, how do they see you? How do they see you and me? What kind of neighbors are we? And I think in the end, if we explore this passage of Luke 10, we see there's a lot to say about being a neighbor ourselves. Now, just to continue a little bit, I want to do this passage of Luke 10, 25 to 37, as I said, in different sections, and I won't do everything today. I will do it in following services and morning services. So let's see this as a short series on the Good Samaritan. Before this biblical scholar, which we've read about asking Jesus the question of the great commandment and your neighbor, comes to Jesus, we see that there's something else happening as well. Jesus sends out the 72 members out in pairs of 36, groupings of 36, going out to the villages of Samaria. And then Jesus tells them, and he actually warns them, be careful. People are not going to just accept you. You are seen as foreigners. The way we believe are seen as not their way. So I'm telling you, just know that it won't be easy. But interestingly enough, when Jesus sends out the 72, he actually names three of the hometowns of Galilee and not of Samaria. And he uses the names of these Galilean hometowns of his followers as a core concentration of the unrepentantness of the people. And Jesus is actually saying, you think that you will see indifferences and stumble upon difficult situations in the villages of Samaria, but no, it's not as easy as we always think, near to us and to home. And therefore Jesus, I would say, actually, Luke, writing his gospel, is preparing us to see loving our neighbor is not necessarily going somewhere like the 72 did. It's also that. It's also caring for the neighbor across the border, for the foreigner. But neighbor or neighborship is definitely as close as our neighbors next door. In fact, what Jesus is implying here is that this call for the greatest commandment is not as close as the next door neighbor. It is as close as the people surrounding me every day. The people in my home, maybe those of you who gets the chance to occasionally go out for some essential food, buying food at the grocery store, the people that's really around you, the people who you would not necessarily choose to love. That is where the great commandment starts. It starts with my integrity. It starts with me and around me. When we look and do this passage of Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, the first thing we hear is that there is a biblical scholar wanting to ask Jesus a question, the question of who is my neighbor. But just understanding this is this biblical scholar would have been seen as a lawyer of the day, someone who really knew the law, but not the law of general society and public. This biblical scholar knew the law of God, the Old Testament. And therefore, obviously, he overheard that Jesus was sending out people to Samaria and was asking, is Jesus really legit? Is what Jesus is doing and saying really according to the law of God? And when this person, this biblical scholar, appears on the scene, one needs to keep in mind that he is not trying to threaten Jesus. He's just trying to see if Jesus complies with the law of God. If Jesus says he's the Son of God, and if he claims to do the things in the name of God, this guy is the protector of the law of the day. And now you need to remember that a lot of people came back, 72 people came back with uproar and joy, we read in the Bible, telling of the miracles and the acceptance they've received in Samaria, and witnessing of that. And this lawkeeper, this biblical scholar, I'm sure he's just thinking, I need to know if this is true. If this is not maybe a bluff. And therefore, he comes up upon the scene, and when he puts his question out there to Jesus, he's testing Jesus, not in a bad sense, but he's testing Jesus according to the law of God. And when he stands up, you can see he's asking the question. The first question he asks is, teacher, what do I do to get eternal life? So that is how he starts out. And then Jesus answers. Jesus says, well, what is written in the law of God? How do you interpret that? And then obviously he answers from the law of God, from the Old Testament. And then he says, well, that you love the Lord, your God, with everything, with your whole being, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus tells him, good answer. Do it and you will live. Then we see this scholar finds himself in a strange position, because he was asking the question, and then what did Jesus do? Jesus answered a question with a question. And the scholar was looking for a loophole. And then he asked, so who is my neighbor? Who would you say is my neighbor, Jesus? I think he was maybe not caught out, but didn't feel well when Jesus was asking him the question back. And then, obviously, Jesus answered with this parable of the Samaritan. The story is provoked by a conversation with an unnamed person who is identified only by his job, by his job description, a biblical scholar. As I said, he's a lawyer. And the law in those days were identified as a professional thing. And I think I'll end here by saying, when Jesus answers the question with a question, something interesting happens. It's not anymore a test with a right and a wrong answer, or a monkey puzzle questionnaire where you just tick the boxes, because I think that could have been the expectation of the biblical scholar, to just tick the boxes. And Jesus said, no, I would rather be in a conversation with you. And therefore Jesus levels the ground. This is not a test anymore. This is a conversation. And I think Jesus was guiding this fellow in understanding that being a neighbor and loving God is about a relationship. It's not about ticking the boxes and knowing who's right and who's wrong and what should I do and what should I not do. It's about relationships. And therefore, I'm going to end our sermon this morning and leave you with this. Go and read this passage again. I want to say, read from Luke chapter 9 and chapter 10. It gives us good perspective. But keep in mind, and that is my challenge for the week, keep in mind that neighbors and loving your neighbor is not about the who and the how to in clicking boxes or doing a test or testing your neighbor. It's about building relationships. And the relationship starts with God loving us. And that is the beginning of the great commandment. A God that loved us, giving us his life through Jesus Christ. As New Testament believers, we can thank God for that. And therefore, if I'm a receiver of that grace, of that love, of unconditional love, first of all, the commandment says, love God with everything in your whole being. I challenge you this week to rethink your relationship with God. It's not a do thing. It's not a thing of only doing a devotional or a prayer when it suits me. It's a relationship. A relationship which you can compare with any other relationship, a good relationship, where there's dialogue, where there's sharing of the joys and the not so good times. And therefore, I will continue in the next sermon we are together again, seeing how this commandment from loving God in a relationship develops to who my neighbor is. I'm excited to share this with you. And as I said, if you want to share anything in terms of this text, you can email it to me or you can phone me and share your thoughts with me as well. But there's a challenge for the week, and the commandment still stands. Love God with everything and your whole being, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, thank you for advocating us. And as we start out with this series on the Good Samaritan, on the great commandment of loving you and loving our neighbors, it is our prayer that you will really guide us. Help us to rediscover you in the known and the unknown places of our lives. Lord, and I think when we think of this great commandment. This week, the challenge is that we will again look at our own relationship with you. And therefore help us. Help us to dust off things and to polish up our relationship if we lack in certain areas. Because as we've heard this morning, it's not only ticking boxes or doing the right things according to a to-do list. It's about the relationship. Help us with that. That's my prayer and our prayer this morning. Lord, and then we bring our offering to you. Thank you that it's not only about money, but that we know that the monies we bring and the monies we put at the side, that it would reach your kingdom where it's needed. But it's also about offering our whole being, as we've heard this morning, about the relationship. Thank you that you give life to us and that we may celebrate it in so many ways. Holy Spirit, help us in doing that. We pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sue Cunningham from Salou Parish Church is going to lead us in intercessory prayer. And after that, let's sing this wonderful hymn that we know very well, saying, "Make me a channel of your peace." We find it in Mission Praise 456. And when you sing it, and when we sing it, may this be a prayer not so sincere about thinking of others, but first of all, this Sunday, thinking of how am I going to work on my relationship and the peace with the Lord, receiving his grace, receiving his love. It says, where there's hatred, let me bring your love. If God shares his love, let's share it back. Lord, yes, make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair, let me bring hope. God's bringing hope to us. Let us work on this relationship. And then the third verse saying, it is in pardon that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. It's not only about me. It's not only about myself, because that we've heard in Luke chapter 10. It's about more than only the world around me. All right. Thank you, Sue, for doing our intercessory prayer.
Let us pray together, starting with these words from Psalm 17, verses 6 and 7. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. Give ear to me and hear my prayer. Show the wonder of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Loving Father, we pray firstly for those in authority over us. We ask that you would guide them to move away from the darkness of fear and indecision toward the light of hope and certainty. We pray for wisdom for our Prime Minister, the First Minister, and the governments in Westminster, Holyrood, and across the world, as they all take vitally important decisions, balancing the need to contain the virus and the need to get the economy going again. We pray for the civil servants working together with our governments. Heavenly Father, we think also of all our frontline workers. We ask for your protection for each one of them and their families. Let us now bring before our loving Father God those people we know who may be overwhelmed with sorrow or deeply distressed, someone who has problems with constant anxiety or is exhausted with worry, someone who is desperately lonely, or those burdened with financial problems, or those trying to cope with ongoing pain or illness.
As your children, Father God, we come before you and ask you to draw near to and lay your healing hand on each one of these people. We ask you to draw near to each of us as we seek to offer our helping hands in your name. We'll close this prayer with a Sabbath blessing. May this day bring Sabbath rest to my heart and my home. May God's image in me be restored, and my imagination in God be restored. May the gravity of material things be lightened, and the relativity of time slow down. May I know grace to embrace my own finite smallness in the arms of God's infinite greatness. May God's word feed me and his spirit lead me into the week and into the life to come. Amen.
A channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never see to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. There is darkness, only light, and where there's sadness, ever joy. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal love.
Friends in Christ, I leave you with the blessing of God, knowing that the Lord will be ahead of you to prepare your pathways, that he will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil, even those we don't know of, that the Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his arms of love, that the Lord will be beneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall, struggle, that the Lord will be above you to bless you, that the Lord will live and dwell within your heart so that you may live from his received grace and love forevermore. Amen. I hope that you'll have a good and a blessed week, some food for thought, and that we'll see one another sooner then later online again. Let's sing and close with the threefold Amen, as it is our tradition to sing it together.